Welcome to the Random Podcast with Raffy and
Welcome back to the Randon Podcast. Huzzah!
Yay!
It's the podcast that looks at how the random influences the everyday. And today, do we have stories about the random for you, dear listener?
Sounds like it has been a very random kind of month.
It has. So, in classic Randon style, this is going to be a little mini-sode where we catch up on what's been happening. So, we will begin with... So how are you? So Chandra, how are you?
Well, I've had a bit of a weird month all over the place where I've been essentially spending a large chunk of the month commuting. Probably highlighted
Explain.
By...
Well, I don't think I'd your say... version of commuting is really commuting.
Yeah, so, you know, people complain...
Travel.
Well, you know, people in Perth complain about, you know, a half-hour commute being, man, there's so much traffic, it's a long way. but over the course of about 4 days, I managed to do 24 hours of commuting between workplaces. Let's see how many kilometers that works out to. Melbourne to Perth is, there you go, 3,500 Ks for any international visitors. But, yeah, so I started in, for example, I work in country towns mostly, and mostly in rural WA. Right now I'm in Albany, which, if you're not sure where that is in Western Australia, right down the very bottom tip.
So Western Australia is like another country for the rest of Australia, and Albany is like another country from that, because
it's not too far. It's only about 5 hours south or 6 hours-ish. It's not too bad.
Yeah, so 5 or 6 hours south-ish from literally the other side of Australia. Like, for context, it's the same distance as New York to San Francisco, but then going to Buenos Aires.
It's kind of like that. But really nice town here. It reminds me of Warrnambool, which is where I grew up on the end of the Great Ocean Road. So another coastal beach town. So it's kind of cool, but it's got these amazing views over the bay. But the problem with the commuting has been there was one random day of work that I decided to agree to do in Ballarat. So for context, that's about an hour and a half out of Melbourne. And so I would have... So there's about a 12-hour commute from one place to the next. So on Tuesday, I started in the morning by driving from Ballarat to the airport, which was, you know, an hour and a half or so. Then... drop off the rental car, spend a bit of time at the airport, eventually catch my flight. So that's from Melbourne to Perth, which will be another 4 hours. And then eventually once I go there, catch a taxi, pick up my car from another half hour away. And then the drive from there is another 5 hours south. Now, the good thing about the Tesla is it does most of the driving. The bad thing is you do have to stop to charge it on the way.
Well, okay, what the hell possessed you to agree to say yes to this?
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. You see, I already had Wednesday and Thursday of work booked here in Albany, and then I didn't have anything booked on Monday or Tuesday. And this clinic in Ballarat needed some help, and so I was like, well, it's probably not the smartest thing, but oh, well, why not?
So the reason I heard about it is because I got a random message going, hey, can I crash at your place? I was like, yeah, sure. And then that was, I think, meant to be Saturday night. And then on Saturday night, which originally we were going to catch up for dinner, but I had a cousin's wedding. So I'm on the way to my cousin's wedding and I get a phone call going, hey, what are you up to? I'm like, going to my cousin's wedding. He's like, yeah, damn it. Yeah, that's right. I've just had a last minute cancellation. Got to find something to do in the city.
Yeah, well, the other problem is lately I feel like I'm just playing like dodge 'em with COVID. So people, you know, I was going to catch up with dinner and like, oh, got COVID or been exposed, run. So many times it's been like multiple people now over the last couple of weeks that I was planned to catch up with, but thankfully they've all told me that either they have COVID, they found out like, you know, the morning off, planned to catch up, or, you know, a couple of hours before that they've been potentially exposed. So feel like Neo in the Matrix, just like dodging all the bullets, but just trying to dodge all the COVID.
Yeah, yeah. So what I didn't realize is, like, I came back from my cousin's wedding and then realized that, yeah, my cats had made a mess, so I started cleaning. At some point, I'm like, man, it's gotten late. Chandra's really out late for having ditched people, and then he's out partying hard. I realized after, like, an hour and a half of vacuuming and, like, using, like, the carpet cleaner and whatnot, and I was like, I just double check. And, like, Chandra's half passed out on the bed. So, apologies for if I didn't wake you up.
Nope, I slept like a baby. It was a long commute to get there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, you managed to dodge COVID. Finally, it got me after 2.5 years of intubating them and everything else. But that's, so yeah, that's a bit of a different story. Anything else you've been up to in the little while?
Well, I'd say I've been discovering the one minor point is, so since I'm starting to sell everyone on Teslas, here's a negative point to the Tesla. So I may have done this same trick twice.
Negative
now.
Point?
I know, this is crazy talk. But it turns out Tesla Maps is not as good as Google Maps when it comes to pointing out forest fires that may be going on at the same time.
Yeah, I think, you know, they route for distance. They don't really route for bushfires just yet.
Yeah, so recently when I was driving to Albany, it was, you know, late at night, and there was a lot of what I thought was fog. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's cold. It's foggy. But then the fog started...
It's like a lovely warm glow in the horizon.
Yeah, and it started smelling a little bit more like smoke than fog, which was a slight problem. So anyway, I figured...
Defense hazard mode defense thing.
Exactly. I figured, I mean, look, I'm not driving around in a big petrol canister. I'm just driving around in a big battery, so it should be safe.
Yeah, anyway, they never catch on fire.
Exactly. Got to the destination. I was like, I wonder what that was all about. Turns out there was a forest fire going on. So, now I've learned to check when driving in the country, not to rely on the Tesla maps alone in case of forest fires. So there you go.
Yeah, I suppose... you're not really one to listen to the news.
What is this news you speak of?
By the way, just for context, if you know you're doing mental state examinations, we have had a change in Prime Minister. It is Anthony Albanese now. So if you're checking for delirium, you just want to update your answers as well.
That's why people kept trying to put me in the psych hospital, right?
So... since our last catch up episode,
what's been happening with you? Sounds like someone's having a bit of a cough.
I'll try and mute it every time I cough. I've been successful so far. So it's been interesting. So I wonder if we have, like, you know, one of those going back in time sounds, but I think I'll just go with it. Imagine that was a teleporting back in time. The harps are playing right now. So about a month ago, I was away in Canberra. I think we briefly touched on this during one of the other. So I was in the middle of Ramadan. I tried to book time away for the last year every single time COVID kind of got in the way. So I picked like the time between Easter and Anzac Day and decided to go away, even though it was in the middle of Ramadan and I was fasting and all that stuff. And because of quirks of work calendars and people being sick, I couldn't take the full 10 days. So I would have to come back for this 1 half-day morning on a Friday morning, which prevented me from going to Hawaii. So I thought, well, what's the next best replacement? What's the closest thing to Hawaii? Canberra. So Canberra it was.
Of course. This was,
yes.
Did the same.
Because it's just like a tropical island, really, except in the middle of nowhere. And excuse me for all the coughing. Long story short, during all this time, so for context, my brother at the end of last year moved to London to work on a work project, and he was meant to be there for a couple of months and come back at the end of February, early March. around then, I kind of messaged to say, hey, when are you coming back? He's like, I'm not. I'm going to stay for 2 years because I've just got a promotion and visas, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay. And why I was asking is, like, my partner and I were planning on having, like, a small religious nikah ceremony sometime at the end of last year, but then he disappeared. And we're like, oh, we should probably, like, we were trying to keep it small. COVID was still rampant. And we really wanted him there just because it was always going to be a small thing. And we were like, oh, okay, well, I suppose we'll start planning something at some point without him because we don't know when he's coming. Anyway, whilst I was in Canberra, he randomly messages going, oh, I'm going to be there in, like, 5 days. For 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, we're gonna miss him coming home because we're in Canberra, you know? So anyway, my parents went, hell yeah, you guys wanted to do the nikah ceremony when, you know, your brother was around, so why not on this day? And I was like, well, that's great, but I'm working that day. It was a Saturday. Didn't think much of it, and I was like, look, I'm away, I'll sort it out when I get back, all that stuff, right? So 2 days go by, and we're going from Canberra to a place called Kangaroo Valley, about 2 hours away. And my uncle rings from the Gold Coast, and he's, like, just having a chat, and like, okay, cool, whatever. And near the end, it's like, so we can come down on, like, the 7th. And I was like, I see chats are being had. And I was like, look, I'm working, I'll see what I can do. And he's like, oh, look, it'd be nice because, you know, it works out. One of my other cousins was getting married like a few weeks after that. So it's like, oh, you know, it's not every single week that we're coming down, all that stuff. And I was like, look, I'm working at the moment. I'm away at the moment. I'm literally in the middle of the forest with not much reception. So can I deal with it when I get back? So anyway, got back to Melbourne, like got back, went to sleep because I was tired after a long drive back, woke up and found a bunch of messages from my family in New York who had not sent, oh, what about this, the 7th of May? It was flight itineraries. Like, they're already, like, bless their faith in all things, they just decided to book flights.
Well, it's the power of positive thinking.
Well, yeah, so I was kind of like, well, I better get out of work then.
Worked.
Yeah, so for context, they had never been to Australia, and I had a full schedule. So I was like, crap, I have to try and take time off so I can at least go pick them up, play tour guide, at least show something. Because last time one of my aunts came, so only one of the people coming this time had ever been to Australia before. But even last time, my mum was very ill. So she was in hospital. So my aunt got to see one hospital very well. And the one time we went on a road trip, the weather was so terrible that she saw Geelong and the Great Ocean Road in the dark. So she, while she's been here before, she's really seen nothing, right? So I was like, all right, this time we can't be doing that. I'll try and take some time off. So anyway, I got that Saturday off and I was like, well, this is sudden since my brother was only going to be here for that short period of time. So I was like, okay, it's going to be just a small family affair because there's been some illness in the extended family and we just didn't want to have like a big celebration. And also COVID's around, yeah. So we just thought we'd just keep it to a small core religious thing. So all we really need is some food. We're just going to do it at my parents' place and an imam, like the Islamic priest guy, right? So I started doing all that stuff and my parents were like, no. It's our parental responsibility to do all this. Like we have to organize it. And I was like, I just literally have to send the email. It's typed up. It just have to hit the button. They're like, no. We have to organize it. We've already organized it. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I left it alone. And in the meantime, I took some time off work so that I could show my family around. And so I was doing all that stuff. Now, mind you, the time was literally 8 days, right? So 4 days go by. It is now the Monday. I think I took them somewhere and I just brought them home. The nikah, like the Islamic wedding, is meant to be on the Saturday. So Monday evening, my dad goes, oh, you never filled out that form. Now, they'd mentioned some form, which I never actually got an email about, so I don't know where they sent it, right? But then he printed it out for me, and it was for, like, a wedding celebrant and all that stuff. And I was like, look, we just want the religious thing. We're just going to do something else later, just because this is, like, the tiny version. This is just get the actual essential stuff done out of the way. So, and he'd been telling me that everything's organized. what he meant was nothing was organized. So there was no...
It's very similar, really. Everything's organized. Nothing is... It's very close. It's just one word difference in his defense. I'm just saying.
So here I was going, all right, well, like, you know, my parents aren't the best with logistics, but I was like, wow, they pulled it off. Well, that stuff, great, whatever, I don't have to worry. And I was like, no. I secretly did have to worry. I just didn't know about it. So on a Monday night, 4 days before, I had to ring up some favors. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you've got 2 weeks. I'm like, no, this Saturday. So my friend at the other end was like, hang on, in 4 days. Oh, right. So he hung up and rung a bunch of friends. And we all ended up sorting it out. Like literally within 2 hours, thanked them because they just sorted it out so quickly. And then my mom comes around and is like, we haven't actually sorted the catering. You want to sort that as well? I was like, nope. You know what? This could have been, like, I had everything done. Just had to send the email. That was it. But yeah, it was like, nope, you guys sort that out.
So Mac is around? Well, maybe that's the traditional meal, right?
Well, here's the thing. So, you know those witches' cauldrons that you see in the Terry Pratchett novels?
Yeah.
There was, like, one of those full of biryani that rocked up. And another one full of curry.
Like, sounds culturally appropriate. Large.
It was literally like I was expecting like a giant Acme anvil to drop out. It was like something you'd see in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. So anyway, with 8 days, so literally, I remember the night before texting my partner going, you remember 8 days ago? She was like, no, why? It's like, yeah, we weren't planning on getting married.
BTW.
So a lot has changed. Yeah. And so anyway, so in between all that was like wedding dress shopping. We had like a very sort of Indian-esque one. So they even made me wear a turban against my wishes. I did manage to like, and for context, we had about 30 people in total, right? And so it mainly was my extended family because there was illness in her family. And one of her brothers was stuck in Shanghai lockdowns, and her mom couldn't come for other reasons. Her really close friend, because it was so last minute, was getting engaged that day, so couldn't come to the wedding because she was interstate. Her other good friend was overseas, and her other good friend had some other issues going on.
8 days, so, I mean, you know. I believe I was in Albany.
Yeah, that's right, because I think I was like, hey, are you free on this day? You're like, no, I don't think I can physically find a plane to climb down.
Literally.
48 hours before this, her one brother who lives here and was meant to come got COVID, so couldn't come. So I was like, hang on. So there's going to be 30 of my family, me, and then you. So I was like, just to be not so awkward, we invited a couple of my friends that she's also friends with, just like so that she would have someone to talk to because I would have to do the high hellos. So this is the smallest possible Indian wedding, I think, because my uncles who came, one had 2,000 people and the wedding event.
So how many elephants did you have at this one?
Okay. I successfully deflected against having, like, you know, the Mendi, like the henna night thing, the haldi, the literally it translates to turmeric, where they smear turmeric on you.
Cool.
I don't know. Yeah. And then there's like all this other stuff where you have to have stuff at every single person's house. I was like, okay, guys, it's going to be like 2 hours tops. Can we just do the core bits? And the amount
what I'm hearing
of pushback,
is you essentially efficientized it as much as you can.
Yes. Because, oh my God. So the night before, I had to go there for something. I can't remember. It was like some logistical thing. So there's like a surround sound system thing at my parents' place. I have never gotten this close to being deaf because whilst I was standing right next to one of the speakers, they turned on like Bengali wedding music. Which is exactly what it sounds like. It's very ethnic, very loud, with lots of drums and like cymbals. So I literally was in the middle of doing something and then bam, I was like, oh God. So 2 weeks later at my cousin's wedding, they played the same song and I literally left. I was like, no, I'm having PTSD right now. But for 8 days effort, we pulled it off. It all happened. And nice. It was actually because it was, my partner hadn't met my extended family because they live in the US and interstate. So she'd only met my parents. So it was actually really lovely, and she got to know them quite well, and to the point where she was like, oh, one of the, like, a couple of days afterwards, she had, like, a 12-hour day, and even after that, she was like, no, I want to come hang out with them, even though she was dead tired, so she came and hang out for, like, 4 hours with them, so I was like, oh, like, they're actually getting along, so it was kind of really nice. But, so anyway, the wedding was very minimalist, and we successfully pulled it off, and we got home.
You got an amazing wedding present as well.
Yeah, and then my mum was, like, as, of course, she was very proud that her son was getting married and all teary and lots of hugs, and then we got home, and she tested positive, and I was like, oh, great, thanks, mum. Oh, that's that loving present that you all want. We were both fine, but we went and got PCR tested and RAT tested and whatnot. First day was fine. Second day, I woke up with a sore throat, and I'm like, I probably shouldn't go to work because exposure plus that, even though I tested negative on the rats. And on the third day, like, I was having rigors, and I was like, if I don't test positive now, something's really wrong with these tests. Yep, weak positive. So I had like 48 hours of just, I literally couldn't sleep because I'd wake up on the hour, I'd either be sweating or shivering, and sweating and shivering, and sweating and shivering. And it'd go for like 12 hours, then like, I sleep for four, and after 48 hours, I thought, no, that was it. And I was 90% back to normal, except for this dry cough. And feeling like I have sinus congestion, even though I have no actual congestion. I just sound nasally, right? but anyway, I was like, oh, look, cold, like, it'll recover. The worst is over. The fevers are gone. The aches are gone, all that stuff, right? And my partner tested positive as well. Well, I suppose wife now. It feels weird to use that word. So anyway, went back to work and da-da-da-da. And then a few days later, we had this one day where I started 8 in the morning and we were working with one of our mutual friends. And there's just been so much COVID going around that this one poor lady with broken bone had to wait 4 days to get an operation. So that got tacked on to the end of our list, yada, yada, yada. So started at 8 in the morning, got her to recovery at like 12:30 at night. An hour away from home. So by the time I left the hospital and got home, it was like 1:30. And on that day, my partner, so we'd obviously spent our honeymoon in COVID isolation, which was amazing. It was the, you know, my brown jeans are tingling at how cheap the honeymoon was.
One way to drop the cost of these things. Multivalent? No. COVID isolation.
Yeah, it is a staycation to be dreamed of. Which we'll get back to. It was actually the best. But anyway, after that sort of a, like, I've had days like these before where, you know, you sleep in the next day and you take 24 hours and you're back to normal. But dear God, it took me like 4 days to recover from that. It just dragged on. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not back to 100% just yet. And just a couple of days ago, I went and did a PT session, and we were just talking about it just before we started recording. So during all this, I just hadn't done any exercise because of Ramadan and all this craziness happening and family arriving. And, like, you know, it's just been chaos, right? Like, my brother decides to come back, and so, like, a butterfly flaps its wings, and now I'm married. That's essentially the summary of the month, right? So I hadn't done any exercise. So I thought I'd try doing some push-ups. And because of the dry cough, I kept on coughing. So I was like, all right, I'm either going to try and push myself too hard and then get in trouble, or I'm going to be pissed lazy and not do anything and then go, I haven't really worked out. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get my PT to take me through a set lesson, and then at least I can go, look, someone else said that I did a good enough job, right?
Well, this is a nice thing about PT. Somebody else can, like, you just have to turn up.
Yeah, just turn up, and they set the resistance for you, and that's appropriate, right? Like, and I can kind of don't have to waste time on guilt because someone else is setting it. So anyway, so we did just body weight squats, right? Like, normally I can squat like 60 kilos plus. So just my body weight, my heart rate went up to 160. And I was like, what? And she was like, oh, yeah, that's actually quite normal. I've had a few clients like that after COVID, and they're months down the track. I'm like, ah, crap. So maybe I have to kind of set it all to a bit easier and whatnot.
No, you should go twice as hard now. So there you go. That's the simplest thing. Logically, that's what you have to do. You just have to go twice as hard. Then you recover twice as fast. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you supposedly still kills you.
May kill you slightly later.
So that's been the the Randon life that I've been living for the last month.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, it might be a good way to transition, a seg, to our next little section that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you've had a little bit of time to think while you were enjoying the non-Rygor sort of days, or maybe just during the Rygoring kind of days, about the random question of this episode, which is, when would you stop working?
Yeah, okay, so for context, what happened, okay, during ISO, you know, people have kind of said, oh, I was in isolation and it sucked and whatnot. I loved, minus the symptoms, I loved every moment of it.
Well, mainly because... this is why I feel like Melbourne 2020, I don't know, like it actually wasn't that bad, to be honest. Like,
well, I mean, I had to go to work. You actually got to enjoy ISO life.
I got to sit on your couch, play some computer games, do some programming, do some research. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I wanted a little bit of that. I never got to taste it. This was like the first time. This
it was the really first... nice. I get up in the morning, go to the cafe downstairs, get my takeaway, and then...
this is how good it was.
Enjoy a few hours.
So I had to tell the building management that I had COVID and all that stuff, and so you're not meant to leave the house, right? And this apartment, oh my God, the best thing ever. This just was like room service every day. Because initially I was like, oh man, I really, really miss coffee. So I rang them and they're like, oh, just get them to drop it at the front door. We'll just drop it to your door. So I rang the cafe. So they literally dropped it at the front door. They brought it up and there was a knock on the door and there was a fresh coffee. And then I was like, does this work for Uber Eats? And they're like, yeah. So then Uber Eats to the door. It was literally room service for a week. I was like, why didn't I know this earlier?
I had that when I was quarantining coming back from the US for the 2 weeks. It was quite nice.
Oh, yeah.
I had my groceries all delivered to the door. My Uber Eats dropped off. It was kind of nice.
and the thing is, like, you know, the apartment, the garbage chute is like a meter away, right, from the front door, right? I wasn't allowed to do that. So I had to leave the garbage there, and they would chuck it out. And the recycling, I was like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Can I just do this every day? So it made me kind of realize, because I'd taken some time off for hanging out with the folks, like my family, and I'd had like that Kangaroo Valley, Canberra trip, etc. So this was in maybe 2.5 years, like the longest block of reduced work time that I'd had in what feels like forever. And after the symptoms subsided, I was like, oh, like I wasn't quite back up to just going back to programming straight away. So I had a couple of days where I was just like reading a book. And what occurred to me was like, you know, that I got out of lockdown. But so where I work has like a bit of this weird quirk where, according to the Department of Health, you have to isolate for 7 days. And if your symptoms are away, you can go back to work. Except for if you work where I work, where it counts starts at day zero. So you're like a day off.
All right.
So
it is like interesting because I found the rules at every hospital has different rules on isolation and things.
Yeah.
And I found that even with some of my patients as well, like at one hospital, if they've had COVID, they can still come in for their operation later, like a week or two or three or something later. One of the other hospitals is like, nope, no go for like 6 weeks or something. And
you're doing cataracts.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine.
It's just like random rules at random places. And it's like, all right, can't really argue with any of this, but sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all low quality evidence and et cetera, et cetera. So, but the thing was, because of that 1 day shift, it just meant that I didn't have to go back to work for like a few more days. Like because my block was up the front and then I had private and da 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 da. So I ended up for about 3 weeks working, well, 1 week I obviously didn't do any work, but the equivalent of working sort of half what I normally would. And it was just really pleasant. And so it got me thinking, it's like, you know, I've been tired for like, I think I mentioned it in the previous episodes and stuff. Like, and it's a bit of just the fact that the pandemic's gone on. And I was like, oh, since I've got the time, I should just do some numbers, right? And basically, I just realized that, you know, I've got a mortgage to pay and all that stuff. But once that's done, I literally would have to work less than half the time that I currently do to kind of just support a lifestyle, right? And so when do you kind of pull the pin? Like, because at the moment, it's like, you know, I think you're doing like, you know, FIRE, financially independent, retire early, that sort of style stuff, and that's what we were all kind of aiming for, roughly, like to have enough investments so that you can free up time, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing was also true that I was like, I don't really buy much crap. Like,
yeah, well, it's interesting when you look at all of those sort of, you know, work less sort of things. It's a very simple, it's like, you know, for example, losing weight. It's a very simple, you know, equation. Energy in, energy out, same thing. Money in, money out. So if you don't spend much money, you don't need a lot of money either.
Yeah, but it's almost like, though, because during training and everything, what all you know is full-time work, right?
Mm.
And for me anyway, it's like, even if I have free time, unless I literally defend it or run away, it just gets filled up with time. Not because I want to, but it's just like that, you know, case at midnight. Like, we started that at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, because the poor lady had literally waited 4 or 5 days for the broken bone, because all the other surgeons had got COVID or theaters were shut down or whatnot. She got transferred like 50 Ks from one hospital to the other just to have it 4 days after the fact that there was just no slots, right? And I don't know how to say no to that. Like, people say, oh, just say no. I'm like, yeah, but that's someone's mom or their daughter or whatever. Like, you know, it's not like people are just going, oh, yeah, can you, I'm going to break a bone just so you can fix it. Like, you know, there is a moral argument
it for was doing broken.
The work. Yeah, right? Like, this is not elective surgery. This is just helping out. And these are all close, like, you know, they're mutual friends of ours. And they have a responsibility to do that. And as far as I know, they still need an anesthetic for that, because we haven't gone back to just using leather belts to bite on. So someone has to do it, you know?
Don't forget the bottle of vodka.
Well, yeah, of course. Like, the essential. Well, no, not vodka anymore. We're anti-Russia now, right?
It's true.
Yeah,
sure. Tequila, we'll go with that. We definitely don't want to let out the secret. Yeah. Definitely don't want to let out the secret that the anesthetics could just be replaced by a bottle of tequila.
Well, I mean, that's where it all began, I think. The ether dome and, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, any thoughts on your front? Because I've, like, this is genuinely, like, I've thought about it for a while, but it's kind of been one of those hypothetical sort of brain activity things, and it's always been a bit of a sliding scale because it's easy to get into lifestyle inflation, even though I haven't really done much of that. But yeah, like, what's your version of this?
I guess it's something I've sort of been thinking about for a while as well. And I've always liked doing sort of outside medical stuff as well. And more what I'm finding is a lot of the outside medical things that I enjoy doing, I really enjoy doing them in large blocks of time. So some people, for example, they like to do, you know, I don't know, so they've got a little side project, they'll do it for a day a week or a couple of days a week. Whereas what I found I really like doing is having the freedom of time. Say it might be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, just to be able to really bite my teeth into something and then just really do it. And for that, you need a lot of flexibility of time. And also, I have a very short attention span and I like doing different things. So I kind of want to have that freedom of being able to do different things. And I guess
what
I sort of
went... What
sort
of different drinks are you talking about? Like, is it...
Anything. So for example, when I was doing programming stuff, I was really into, you know, the AI in imaging and things like that. But then after I sort of got reasonably good at that, now I'm like, actually I want to try playing with that in other applications. Or I want to make something, you know, completely other. And so I just want to have that freedom to pursue whatever is interesting to me at the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the difference there is between what yours, like, you know, say what other people do and what you're doing, is that other people that do like a project for a day is something that they already know that they want to build. Like, let's say photography, right? Like, we've done it for years. If you want to do a photography project, you could probably do half a day a week or a day a week and it'd be fine. But what you're saying is learning and applying, like, stuff that to you is like the bleeding edge. Like, you don't know it. You got to figure out how to work it. Like, it's
part of
inventing the Lego.
Learning new things is part of the fun. And so that's what I wanted to design for, to have as much chunks of time free as possible. And so that's why, for example, this year I'm actually working as much as humanly possible, i.e. commuting 24 hours in a few days.
and they say I'm the workaholic, huh?
But hopefully from next year onwards, I'll kind of trying to step down to a few months of work a year and basically just not spend a whole ton. And
be on a boat.
Yeah, pretty much. Relocate to a floating home. But floating home or not, essentially work on not spending a whole bunch of money and giving myself more time to actually do some of the other things that I'd like to pursue right now while I can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not even not spending a lot of money. It's just kind of like, I don't think in our group of friends, no one's really done the let's go buy a Ferrari because we can, right? Like, everyone's kind of fiscally responsible. Like, they have nice stuff, don't get me wrong. Like, there's luxury purchases
around. I think thing is fiscally responsible is a very, it's a tricky term because everybody has things that they like.
Absolutely. But I mean, as a ratio of how much you're earning versus how much you're spending on the niceties, right? I think it's no one's like none of our friends that I know of anyway, like I haven't gone and done a deep dive into their budgets, but no one's gone, oh yeah, I'm going to spend like 90% of my income and save 10%. Like everyone's like, and I think that's like the traditional personal finance sort of mantra, right? Like save 10% or 20% or something. But I think people are kind of much more conservative and doing the right thing, whatever that may be. And I think, like for you,
well, one of the things somebody else told me was about, you know, it's like, oh, are you sort of, is it living to work or working to live kind of thing? Are you spending more of your time trading your time for money? Or are you kind of doing the things you want to do outside as well? And there's nothing wrong with enjoying work and really enjoying that. And for some people, that's exactly where they want to be, which is great. But if you like to do a few different things, then how do you sort of incorporate that in is a question.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for me, I think I mentioned in one of the other episodes, like a few years ago when I was still in training, I was in New York. It was a cold, sunny day. I had a coffee in my hand and I walked past like a campus of Mount Sinai, right? Like it was like right next to Central Park. And I was like, it was autumn in New York. And I was like, this is literally, I was on holidays and it was the perfect holiday day for me. I wanted to wander around a city that I didn't really know. It was gorgeous and I had a coffee in my hand. And that's what I like doing, right? Like I go like going to new places and just wandering around finding new things. And I walked past this hospital and I just remember distinctly going, I wonder what it's like working there. And I was like, yeah, if for whatever reason, they ran out going, we really need a junior anesthetics registrar right now because emergency, what would I do? And I was like, yeah, I would not spend the entire day. Like this was early morning as well, like brunch time, like my absolute favorite. I was like, yeah, I'd go in and just work for free just because I'd be curious and I just think that would be more fun. And I was like, oh, I think I made like the right career decision because here I am on holidays and I would be willing to just go in and work because I would find it equivalent, if not more fun, you know?
I think for me, the equivalent there would be operating. I love operating, really like it. And that's something I want to do as much as possible. And, you know, in the future, it'd be nice to be able to do that as well, you know, volunteer and do more volunteer operating, for example, just because it's really, really fun. I just genuinely enjoy it.
So I think the thing that's changed for me that I realized during the whole ISO isolation period was I still enjoy work, but I've really, especially after this slog of the last 2.5 years of essentially no breaks, the downtime is becoming equally enjoyable. Like I think I spent a couple of days just programming, just getting back into Python. And I was like, it just felt so pleasant. And the last few years, like since I've been a consultant, I've just kind of had work set to 11 because I was like, well, it's fun. Like as in, it genuinely doesn't tire me out except for those ridiculous days when they're like, once you get over like 18 hours or something, like, all right, come on. You basically are in sleep time, right? Like, when you're working more than you should be, like if your sleep time, if you're not getting at least 8 hours of sleep, like if you, by the time you travel home and get to bed and wake up to get back to work, that is less than 8 hours. So at least like you're getting 6 hours of sleep. eventually that'll get to you, right? Like, minus days like that, I was like, yeah, it was still fun, but it was just...
For anybody listening in, this is why you do ophthalmology after registrar time. Like, if you're at work after, like, five, it's a long day. It's a really long day. It's been a tough day. Yeah, so
this is the...
Very occasionally. One time I finished at 5:30 p.m. It's a tough day.
So, little anecdote was... Years and years ago, when I chose anesthetics, it was always the lifestyle specialty and all that. And it kind of is to an extent. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was doing some emergency case and this resident rang up going, oh, I need an urgent cannula. I'm like, that's great. But I'm stuck in theater. Have you called your registrar? And they're like, no, my registrar can't come. They're operating. I'm like, okay, think about that for a second. If your registrar is operating, where do you think I am? And he's like, what do you mean? It's like, can you hear your registrar in the background? Like, oh, it's like, yeah, so you can either come and take over and I'll go do your cannula or it has to wait. And then it finally occurred to me, it's like, how is surgery not the lifestyle specialty, but anesthetics is? How are they operating without us? And I was like, I was sold a lie.
It sounds like it's a lie. It's a trap.
One of the other interesting things I discovered today was it's something that's kind of been a, you know, back of the mind sort of a thing, is I've kind of been in a bit of a rut ever since isolation and recovery, realizing that I can't actually go back to 100% because I still get the coughs and I still, like, you know, it just takes me a bit longer to recover. And I've kind of been on, like, a bit of a mopey, not quite a rut, but, like, you know, just generally not 100%, right? And we've kind of briefly talked about this. It's like, when you have those days, you're like, you know, I just can't be asked doing stuff. For me, it seems to be like self-destructive habits, but nothing terrible. For me, it's like junk food. So today, so this started about maybe not yesterday, the day before, right? One of our friends who, for some reason, seems to know the schedule of KFC hot and spicy chicken coming out and always will post a picture of a KFC meal on our group thread. Like, he'll be silent for months.
Slowly trying to kill everyone.
Yeah, like, he'll be literally, he just will not message for months. And then it'll be like a picture of chicken going, hot and spicy's back. Then he'll disappear again. Right? And you're like, okay. So he's clearly alive.
Not even a cardiologist, like, collecting referrals.
So anyway, he posted this up. And I've been in a bit of a, like, I just don't want to do anything. I just kind of, like, even yesterday, I think I, like, watched a movie and did nothing all afternoon. But, you know, I was just like, ah, I'm still recovering, da-da-da-da, woe is me. But the thing that's been stuck in my head is, like, I just really want KFC chicken, right? So this evening, I got home. I wasn't even hungry. I walked all the way to KFC and had, like, a three-piece feed, even though I was full, right? And this is how much the universe hates me and lets me be self-destructive. So it's a three-piece feed. There was four large chunks of chicken in my box. It's like the universe has gone, have some more. Like, really get that heart disease, right? And now, it was disgustingly good. And now that I've had my little binge of negativity, I'm like, okay, get back to it, right? So in the past, I've always tried to kind of be like, self-control. No, don't do the bad thing. Lately, I've just been finding, like, I should just give into it, because then it just accelerates the point instead of, like, sitting there and trying to not to feel bad even though I'm feeling bad, sort of a thing. Just wondering, that sort of thing happened to you? Like,
yeah, that was, like, literally... When you first said that, I was like, oh, no, I don't sort of go out of my way to do, like, eat stuff like that. But then also when you pointed out, I was like, oh, actually, some days that I'll have days where I've just got too many things. And then my brain's just like, cannot compute. And then I'll just, like, sit in bed doing nothing. But I've gotten better at those days now, because when I have one of those days, now I just go, nah, today's a write-off. And then just stay in bed and watch that entire season of some random TV show that I really don't need to finish watching.
Yeah, like, I mean...
It's like, all right, well... The Ozarks it is. Okay, we're going to watch this entire thing and learn how to money launder, because, sure, that seems like...
I think it's
like
called
big.
Ozarks, not Ozarks, but anyway.
Well, there you go. See, I need to rewatch it.
You know, it's a place in the US,
yeah,
right?
In the in Aussie, right? Aussie arcs, no?
Yeah,
I think that's my sort of equivalent of it, which is too many things to do, and then I just don't start doing anything. Then I just make it a write-off day.
Yeah, today was the first time I realized that for me, it's the self-destructive thing is like junk food, so it's like self-destructive chicken. Because I'm not really a food person. Like, as in, I don't hate food, but if you put, like, you know, what is the most important thing in life, food would not hit, like, I mean, good, like, as in, as long as food acceptable, like, I wouldn't eat porridge every day, right? But I don't really care. Like, I mean, if there's a fancy restaurant, I'll go, but fancy restaurant is not the top of, like, if I go to a new place, like, you go, hey, I'm just going to pick, like, the most expensive places so we can try the best
Not
stuff.
The most expensive, the best reviewed.
whatever your criteria is. Okay, for people listening, he literally then sorts by cost and then goes, like, yeah, that one will do. I think, like, we literally went to, like, in DC, we went to the same expensive Japanese restaurant 3 times in 1 week to the point where
It was pretty good, though. Okay.
And also, whilst we were there, this guy ordered the same expensive dish 3 times, look, twice in one night.
It's not that I'd ever do that. It's not that, for example, just before recording this podcast, I was at the same Japanese restaurant here in Albany having the same grilled mackerel that comes with kimchi and rice with a hot sake that I had every night the last time I was here for 5 nights in a row. It's not that I am that sort of person who would do that.
No. He's vegetarian. He'd never have mackerel.
Exactly. I would definitely not go back to the same restaurant every single night with the same dish.
Yeah, so for those listening, that restaurant in DC was called Zengo and shut down. It was like a Japanese Mexican fusion.
Yeah.
It was like Latin American or something. Yeah, it was genuinely amazing. But I think on the last time we were there, we were like, oh man, the miso cod was amazing. They're like, should we get another one? Like, we were full, and we're like, well, we're going to go back to Australia tomorrow. So then they're like, oh, do you want the checks? Like, no, we want more miso cod. And they just looked at us funny.
It's like, why are you still here?
And it was, because everyone was gone. We were the only people there.
They probably, like, hang on, wanted to go home.
Yeah, they're like, so you don't want the check. You want more food. And the more food that you've already eaten. Yes.
So you want to try something new? No.
See, I go along with those because of you. I don't go out of my way to be like that. Like, I like wandering around and finding new places, and most of the time I'm like, oh, look, dumpling place or some El Cheapo thing.
Look, I like wandering around, finding a place, and then I'll just stick with that place, really. I'm done.
So random question for listeners. Do you have any weird self-destructive habits like that? Like chicken or Japanese mackerel? As yours is less self-destructive and more just repetitive.
Mine is more just sitting in bed just watching random YouTube videos the whole day and just writing off the day.
Yeah. And I think I've become a bit better, well, a bit worse, but better as a result of doing what you do, which is kind of like just giving in instead of trying to use... Like, I think for the first couple of days, like yesterday and the day before, I was trying to be all like, no, must resist. And then I'm like, I don't know, I just feel like crap. So why don't I just actually fall into the hole so I can actually start coming back up instead of it being like quicksand and slowly getting dragged down. And I hate to say it, but it was effective. Like, that was disgusting, the amount of fried chicken that was on that in that box. I wasn't
even
hungry.
Key question is, if it was on discount, right, appealing to your curryness, if it was on discount, would you go
it
back
was,
and have some more?
Right now? No. I literally eat KFC once a year. And it's because freaking Nimesh always posts it up. Then I go, oh. And every year I'm disappointed by hot and spicy because it's neither hot nor spicy. Right?
And probably
not chicken.
Reason,
but for every year, for whatever reason, I think it's going to be different. And I go and I try it. And that's like my yearly pilgrimage to KFC. Like, I don't actually like KFC any other time.
This year's the year.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should call it a wrap for a mini-sode that's gone for nearly
an hour. That sounds like a maxi-sode now.
So, yes. So, like, subscribe, and do all that stuff. we have actually, like, as of the last episode, we have officially crossed 1,000 listens of across all our episodes. So huzzah. And as of 5 episodes ago, since we started using Riverside, they've all been videos. We haven't uploaded it to YouTube yet because I've just been a bit slack and I've got to get Sam onto it. But if you listen / watch the episodes on Spotify, they will actually come up with the video. And I think in the near future, they're going to do transcription as well, which isn't enabled yet.
Well, there you go.
Any other parting thoughts?
No, but I'm very keen to hear. Yeah. What do other people do to destroy their day?
Yeah, so self-destructive habits. Leave us a message that on anchor.fm/randint. You can leave a message. I think the link comes up anyway. Or you can email us. It is still podcast@photosbyraffy.com, even though Chandra has been promising, now that we've hit 1,000 subscribers, to actually use randint.com, which we do own.
This does let me put that disclaimer of coming soon. Stay tuned.
So there will be an updated email address, but for now you can email us at podcast@photosbyraffy.com or leave us a message, which is what we want, because the moment we get messages, we will also do another Growing Up Brown episode. And I have content for that as of yesterday. with that, goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.